these, and you know you should have done something, and you didn't. You're neglecting me. And so as Christians, we can't be happy or satisfied with a form of Christianity that where we just come and have meetings all the time. We have to take the things that we're learning and be transformed by them. And this is why we talk all the time about reading your Bible away from here and praying, because those are the basic spiritual practices that help us, combined with our worship and our fellowship here, to go away from here on our own time and stay connected to the work that God is trying to do within us, where he's trying to transform us, and we have to yield to that process so that we can be changed and then go out after being changed ourselves in order to be able to then change the world. And that's what God is calling us to in his church. He's not calling us to be complacent and apathetic, but to be active, faithful, and proactive in following him wherever it is that he leads us. And so the opportunity this morning was to have a growing concern for orphans around the world who have tremendous needs. And if anything that you heard or saw this morning caught your attention and you've been thinking about it since that class and that presentation finished, you've been turning it over in your mind, he's going to be staying for the potluck afterwards. I encourage you to seek him out and talk with him. And if it's something that you'd like to partner with Orphans Lifeline with, he'll be able to help you get set up for that. But moving to the sermon this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Let me go ahead and read that. I'm well aware of the time, and I'm well aware of the potluck afterwards. But we all know that when I'm preaching, that's a bad combination to be short on time with a potluck afterwards. But I'm going to do the best I can. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, thank you again at this time that we can come before you and read your word and reflect on it. And I pray, God, as we have read that this passage is about the peace that you offer to us, the peace that is available to us when we come to you through Jesus by faith. I pray, God, that in our own lives and the world around us, many of us struggle with anxiety or worry or fear or these other types of ways of thinking that creep into our lives and cause us to become distracted from you. Help us, God, this morning to see clearly that we can have peace with you, that we can be at peace with you, that we are at peace with you, and that peace can extend into our lives, that we can experience the fullness of the peace that you bring to us. No longer do we need to be anxious or worried or fearful, but we can trust you, we can find contentment in you, and we can live our lives at peace with all. We thank you for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. I'm used to being the only one that this applies to when I ask these kinds of questions, but how many, when you get in the car or your vehicle to go to work or to go anywhere, you turn the car on and some kind of talk radio comes on, and you start listening to it, especially if it's early in the morning, you find out that the earlier in the day it is, the more negative it is, And so you start your day by listening to that kind of, that negativity. You're driving, maybe you've got a half hour commute to work and you've got talk radio on the whole time, and you're being bombarded by criticism of this, second guessing of that, just a lot of negativity. And maybe halfway through your drive, you say, enough's enough. I'm going to change this. And so you switch off of the sports talk radio and you switch over to the news talk radio, and you find out that that's even worse. How many, when you turn on the TV and you've got your TV set to the news station, and you immediately start to wonder, why am I even watching this? Why am I listening to this? I was talking with my uncle and aunt last night, and both of us are Canadian, so we talk to our relatives and friends back over in Canada in different places. And this, what they always want to know is, what's going on in the U.S. about the presidential election? And we were laughing at how Canadians, that's like all we talk about is American politics. And they all want to know about what's happening politically in the U.S. and everything. They talk about it more than they talk about their own politics. But the reality is that today, I think, in the election cycle in particular, many people are feeling a lot of anxiety. Whether we're listening to negative talk news, negative news on TV, we're reading about it. Even when you go to Facebook now, and they've got the news feed on the side with all the hashtags that are like what people are talking about most in your area. And at least on mine, it's all political stuff. And it's all negative. It's this guy said that, she did this, someone's lying about that. And you scroll through. I've had to hide people on my feed on Facebook because it's like all negative stuff all the time. And you don't want to unfriend them in case they go back and look and realize that you unfriended them and they take it personally. So you have to hide them from your feed to try to block out some of that negativity. But how many of us, you go to work and you don't like to be there because there's just a lot of anxiety about it. There's some tension with a coworker, or maybe your boss had it out with you for some reason and you don't even know how to relate to him or her at anymore. And so work is stressful, or you hear something about the economy and you wonder if there's going to be a job for you in a month, and you know that things are tight at home, and then that causes you to think about home, and you know that when you get home there's going to be that lingering tension that was there when you left in the morning that's still unresolved. Then the kids are going to get in the mix, and there's a problem at school or a problem with their part-time job or whatever, and there's just a lot of anxiety in our lives. A lot of us, we worry about things. We're fearful about things. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what to expect about things. We can't control our lives the way that we want to control them. And so that creates anxiety in our lives. We're not sure what to do. And in the busyness of our lives, we forget that God makes his own peace available to us, so that if we trust in him and if we learn contentment in him, our way of life can be a life of peace, not a life of anxiety and worry and fear. But sometimes even when we go to the Bible, it creates tension and stress for us because of the way that we've been accustomed to reading it. How many have gone into a Christian bookstore or some kind of inspirational bookstore or whatever where they take verses, they take one verse out of the Bible, and then they come up with some kind of like a you're looking out the ocean or something, and there's a beach there, and then plastered all over it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so, hey, that looks nice. I need that in my office to remind me not to be stressed out all the time. So you pin that up, and you read it kind of like a mantra of some kind. And so every time something stressful comes along, you say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But then things start to go wrong, and things start to get messed up, and things don't happen the way that I expected them to happen. And I look at that poster I had on my wall, and I said, well, if that's true, then what's going on here? And so what happens is we start to have anxiety about, is the Bible even true? And that anxiety comes about because of the way that we read it. And I've talked about this a number of times. It's why we can't read one verse at a time. It's why my preference would be to take out the chapters and verses and just have entire books that we read through so that we don't start tearing out a verse here or there, because the Bible has context to it, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. But when we understand that what Paul is doing when he writes to these Philippians, he's writing to a church that was very anxious. And just a couple verses earlier than what I read in chapter 4, verse 2, Paul identifies a problem amongst two women in the church who are causing a lot of tension and strife within that church. Paul calls them out by name and he says, I plead with you to be of the same mind in the Lord. Which goes back to what he's told them in chapter 2, that in your relationships with one another, chapter 2, verse 5, have the same mind that Christ Jesus had. And then he spells out what that mind was, that Jesus was so focused on his obedience to God that he lived by humility, and his humility kept him obedient, and his obedience led him to death, even death on a cross. That death was for us. That death benefited us. Because of his death, we now have available to us the forgiveness of sins. That barrier that separated us from God, and for many of us, when we've wondered, we've been stressed out about our relationship with God. Where is it? How do we access that? And God himself did the hard work of making a path clear for us when Jesus, through his obedience, died for our sins. When we're baptized into the name of Jesus, we receive the forgiveness of sins. That final barrier that separated us and God is taken away. And we can live this abundant life of peace that Paul begins to talk to them here. He's written to a church that was filled with anxiety about tensions between members. And his whole letter can be summed up with, focus on the mind of Christ in your relationships with one another. Be humble, love one another, serve one another, and when you focus on those things, you'll be at peace with God and with one another. So let me share very briefly 3 points that Paul makes about God's peace. And I'm just going to go, Bible turn pages on me. I'm just going to go paragraph by paragraph through what we read. So verses 4 through 7, verses 8 and 9, and then verses 10 through 13. It's that simple. Verses 4 through 7, that first paragraph, Paul teaches that the peace of God by itself enables us to overcome anxiety in our lives because it shifts our focus away from the stress and the fear and the worry and the anxiety that we're experiencing. It shifts our focus away from those things back onto God. And look at how Paul addresses that. He jumps right into it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He's talking about looking at your life and taking stock of the things that God has done for you, that God has given to you, and rejoice in those things. Give thanks for those. God has created a foundation in your life from which you can only go up. And sometimes we look at our lives and we think things are a mess, nothing's going right. Even in the worst situation imaginable, for those of us who are in Christ, we know that nothing will ever separate us from God, that relationship that we have with God through Christ is solid, it's firm, it's always there. Nothing can break that apart for us. And so even in the worst of times, we always have that to look back to rejoice in, to give thanks for. It is our anchor. It holds us to God. It keeps us together, and it is always there. We always have something to rejoice in and to give thanks for. And Paul says in verse 5, the Lord is near. And I think that what he's talking about there when he says the Lord is near is he's saying that the Lord is always available to us. He's always there. It's why he goes on in the next sentence. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what do we do when we're thinking about, I want more peace in my life. I want God's peace to come into my life because I'm worried and fearful and stressed out. I don't know what to do. Paul says, stop what you're doing. Just stop and pray. Stop and pray. And in that prayer, give thanks to God for the things that he's blessed you with. Why? Because that stops us from being worried about what we don't have or what we think is going to happen. And it puts the energy back on us to think about what God has already done for us. And we give thanks for that. And the Bible, over and over and over, we see this especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, that the people of God are told to anticipate something on the basis of the promises that God has already made and kept. And so we can have trust in God because we know that God is faithful to the things that he says he's going to do. And so we begin to pray by giving thanks for what God has done for us, because it reminds us that if God has done some things for us already in the past, we know that he will continue to do things for us into the future, because that's just who God is. And so Paul says in verse 7 that as we pray, as we stop, and as we give up anxiety, and as we turn to God with thanksgiving and in thankfulness, we pray to him, we present our request to him, that God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of us would like to have the peace of God guarding our hearts, protecting us, guiding us through those storms in our lives? And Paul says, it's not complicated to get there. It's just a matter of, will you take the time to stop and pray and give thanks and trust him? See, this accessing of the peace of God that he makes available to us at the end of the day comes down to whether or not we're going to trust God. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 very quickly here. The peace of God nourishes us because it gives us alternative, positive things for us to think about. This is what Paul says. So notice in verses 8 and 9, he doesn't say, finally, brothers, whatever is on the news, whatever is happening on talk radio, whatever you read about on Facebook, whatever pictures you see on Instagram, think about those things. It's not what he's talking about. It's not what he says. It's ridiculous to even say that, because it's just not there. Because Paul says that when we're trying to develop the peace of God in our lives, we have to think about the things of God. And sometimes that's where we get hung up, is because we want to think about, I want to think about all of my things and my problems and my issues, and then I want God to bring peace into those things. But God says, why don't you think about my things? Let your way of thinking be changed, and then you'll find peace. And that's why he says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. How many of us would immediately have a more peaceful life if we focused more on thinking about these things? And then he comes to verses 10 through 13. This is really the key for me, but the peace of God leads to and brings contentment, because it teaches us, the peace of God teaches us the meaning of life. And so Paul says in verse 11, he talks about how you were able to help me financially. You were concerned about me, but you had no opportunity to show it. And Paul says, I'm not talking about this because I want you to do something for me, because Paul wants to make a deeper point. He says to them, you've been concerned about me and you've wanted to do something for me, but I want you to know that I'm content all the time in every situation. I don't need you to become anxious in thinking about helping me, because I don't have the anxiety of being in need, because I'm content by having God's peace in my life. That's what he says in verse 11. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He's content. Why? Is it because Paul has tapped into some kind of ancient stoic wisdom where he just says, I'm not going to think about these things, I'm not going to worry about these things, I'm just going to go through life a day at a time, living in the moment? No, that's not why Paul has found contentment. Paul has found contentment, and this is where verse 13 comes in. This is why Paul says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, not because he wanted to give us a verse to put on a poster to hang in our bedrooms, but because he wants us to realize that through Christ, we can face any situation in our lives, whether we're well-fed or hungry, whether we have everything we need or we have nothing that we need. We can face all of those things peacefully and with contentment, because Christ is with us, strengthening us, Our peace comes from him. Our lives find their fulfillment in him. It doesn't matter what happens to us externally. It doesn't matter what we need that we think we need. It doesn't matter what we think that we don't have, that others have, that we think we should have. The only thing that matters is Christ bringing his peace and working through us so that we find contentment in him. That's the only way that we'll truly and finally find the peace that we're looking for. And so how many of us have that anxiety at work? How many of us have kids in school and we're anxious about what they're learning or not learning or what bathrooms kids are going to go to? How many of us have anxiety amongst our relationships at church because some things are not connecting or we don't know how we fit in or we don't know where our place is in that group? How many of us have anxiety about the direction of society at large? How many of us have anxiety about this current election cycle? What are we going to do about that anxiety? My encouragement is that the first thing that we would do is that we would stop. We would just stop. We would cut off that line of thinking that's anxious all the time. And the way that we do that is that we rejoice in the blessings that God has already given to us. And we offer those blessings back to him by way of thanksgiving in prayer. And then we learn contentment in Christ. By not analyzing our experience against that of another. By not crying about what we don't have that we think we deserve. By not whining about the injustice that we received or whatever, let's be like Paul and say, I have learned through all things to be content because Christ is with me, strengthening me. We need to learn to live in God's peace, and we do that very simply through prayer, trust, thanksgiving, and the encouragement of one another. And this is why I like to talk about this too. And I think this is very appropriate. We're here as individuals, but together we make up the one body of Christ. And it's not right. It's not right that any one of us would leave here this morning feeling like we're drowning in our own anxiety. That, you know, what I said this morning makes sense, but you're not totally sure how to work it out in your life. We need to be here for one another. And so in addition to prayer and thanksgiving, and learning to integrate the peace of God into our own lives, we need to be looking out for one another. Finding one or two others that we can connect with, that we can pray for, that we can have a real conversation with and talk about the things that are stressing you out, that are stressing me out, so we can pray for one another and then check in with a person during the week to find out how's your week going. I've been praying for you. Should I pray for something different, or are things coming along for you? And if that person finds that they have more peace in their life, then guess what? Both of you rejoice over that. And that becomes part of the foundation that we keep building on as the peace of God becomes ever more available to us. How would your life be different if you could truly say that you were content in your own life the way that Paul described his life here? How would your life be different? And as I always ask, how would the life of this church be different if even 20% of us began to be as content in our own lives as Paul says he is in his? Let's learn how to be content in Christ by letting the peace of God come into our lives as we grow and flourish as followers of Jesus. Let's stand and sing.